Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted Podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and I know things now. So hello, little girl, and welcome to our little world. I know what you're thinking. Maybe they're magic, but don't be in agony that it's been a week since you last heard us. Kevin really loves this.
I love this.
If you stay with me, anything can happen at any moment.
In the woods.
Joining us today in the woods.
There it is.
Yeah. Include Kevin, our resident giant in the sky, Jaeger.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
That was my giant sound. Oh,
that was great. That was your Shrek impression,
Jaeger. Shrek impression.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yeah.
An unofficial Bigger's wife of the hour, except for hopefully it doesn't end the
same
way.
Stay safe. Don't crush by a giant. Don't cheat your husband.
Don't cheat your husband. Get hit by a tree.
Yeah.
And of course, with us today. And of course, with us today is a guest who you probably know from his ultra-popular blog and Twitter, Annoying Actor Friend. Let's give a big, broad-wasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Andrew Bredis.
Andrew!
Hi!
Welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, thank you for giving me alcohol.
That's what we do.
That is exactly what
Which
we
I've
do.
Which I've already finished. I'm already done with my second one.
Oh.
Yeah, so welcome to Monday.
This is going
to
be a good episode. I'm ready.
Welcome to Wasted, where we talk about Broadway.
Yeah. I've had three drinks.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
That was best part. And that's going to stay in, too.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, we can't make fun of each other.
Oh, we make fun of each other. We're going to make fun of Kevin the most.
Oh, good.
Oh, all the time.
Great. Yeah.
Like, have you seen Hamilton?
I have seen Hamilton.
Kevin has not.
You've not seen Hamilton? Okay, but everybody's all like, I haven't seen Hamilton. I'm like, it's not hard if you know somebody in the cast.
Come on. No, like, that's all I have to
you're
do.
You're doing it wrong.
Kevin, you've made the wrong friends.
Life choices, Kevin. Life choices.
Just got your friend cast and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
all over it.
Yeah.
It was very easy for me to get into Hamilton. I mean, I did standing room. I didn't see like half
all right,
the show.
You're pushing the knife in deeper. It's almost out my back right now.
That standing room is like, here's everyone's torsos and feet.
Yeah. It's like doesn't have the bridge or like the upper level. Yeah. So you like don't see. You're like, oh, I know he just entered because they're applauding. Yeah. And I heard him say his name. Yeah. But and actually, it's perfect. If you have to do standing room, it's great. Yeah. So, you know, if that happens, don't be upset about it.
SRO, Kev. Standing room only.
Thank you.
So let's go around. We're going to do what we're drinking. But first, you can follow Andrew on actor_friend on Twitter, correct?
Correct.
And you go to his blog at annoyingactorfriend.com.
Yes, that's my annoying actor friend pen name when I write under that character. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear me talk about like Jurassic Park and Fuller House, then go to Andrew Bredis. That's AndrewBredis. And I'm that on Instagram and Twitter and all that.
Cool. Great. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Absolut vodka.
In a Kinky Boots cup?
In a Kinky Boots cup.
Yeah.
With ice. Nothing else.
We're in so it's an indeterminate number at this point.
Yeah. We're in
two to five is where we're at right now.
The rest of us all match.
The rest of us all match with.
Where are the Yingling trips?
Yingling trips.
Which was triplets because
I
didn't say triplet.
Yeah.
I
felt the
sisters?
Need to abbreviate everything today.
Well played.
The Yingling sisters. Yeah.
So let's.
That's what I was going for.
Let's go. You guys are outrageous.
It's like Yingling is like the national touring beer. Like it's like you do a show and it's like I'm gonna get a and you do your show and then you go to like the McCormick and Schmick's and you say in Boston or wherever you are and go like I'm gonna get a Yingling or a Stella. That's like those are the beers I feel like are touring beers.
Because are the same everywhere.
Yeah, you can
trust
them.
Get it everywhere.
Yeah, you can
trust
them.
You're not just like, what is that local brewery?
I don't also.
Yeah. I don't trust every tour I see though.
Like every tour you see.
Yeah. Touche.
No, I don't either. So touche. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely Yingling is everywhere. Stella's definitely everywhere. Well, obviously like Budweiser and Bud Light and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, the frat stuff.
Right. Yeah. But above that level.
Yeah.
Is, I would say, what tier would you put Yingling on?
If it were like a production, it's like tiered tour contract?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like if Pabst Blue Ribbon is CETA 4,
Nonac.
I don't even think it's Nonac. I think it's like water would be like Nonac. But the
Natty Light.
Natty Light. That's like a C to tier five or six.
I would even say Bud Light is Nonac.
I mean,
I can say,
well, Bud Light has alcohol. Depends on what we're saying.
Oh.
If we're saying that like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble here. If we're saying, like, if it's not equity, it's not, like, ask if it's equity.
Oh,
then,
so that's so, like Bucklers.
Like water.
Yeah, oh.
So okay. No alcohol at all.
Or non-alcoholic beer.
Non-alcoholic beer.
O'Doul's.
Would be, yeah, O'Doul's. Yeah. O'Doul's would be, like, a non-equity beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got, like, your Pabst or Natty. Those are in the Citas.
Mm-hmm. I see what
in the Citas. They go up from there. And then I think when you get to, like a nice lager would be like a, well, you're in the tiered production category, I think. And then you have, like, a small batch. Or a local
you
brew.
Might be on, like, the Peggy tour of Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think a
the
Yingling...
The Munchkin Land of
Yingling,
Wicked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a Yingling would be, like, a tiered production contract, tier C.
Okay.
And then I'm not so much a beer connoisseur, so all the Broadway beer connoisseurs out there are like, you know, are like, no. Like, you got to get Justin Robertson, Squiggs, who does all the drawing.
He's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. See, he could come on here and really talk about beer and how they fall into the contracts.
Okay. We'll have to put that.
Yeah.
We'll write that down.
Have to ask Squiggs. About that. Squiggs, help us out Squiggs. With the beer for the
contract.
You know,
Squiggs, contract beer talk.
He knows beer.
I drink beer. I don't really know much about it.
You know that it makes you feel good.
I like it. And I know Brian likes dank beer.
Why does everyone... Oh, I know why, but...
Where did this
come
from?
Dank is sometimes a good word, apparently.
It is.
Says the young people on Snapchat.
Oh. Are you getting into Snapchat now?
I'm trying my best.
Are you into Snapchat?
No, because I look at Snapchat and I go, oh no, see, like, people of my age put a dog face filter on, like, we're doing to Snapchat what, the parents did to Facebook to us.
Oh.
So I feel like we're like, all the kids are going to be running from Snapchat if they haven't already. I think that they're on, like Zingbot or, Flipper. I'm making up names.
I
got really upset. I was like, I don't know these things. Have
like,
I passed
why
that threshold?
Broadwasted have a Flipper page.
But I'm waiting. They're on another route. I think that they're like, ew, gross. About Snapchat. That's just a guess I have.
Well, speaking of things we've seen on Snapchat, bad transition.
That was the right transition.
What have you guys seen recently?
Oh.
It is young people. The thing that me and Kevin saw.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So we got to see a show at the New York Musical Festival this year. It was a new musical called Normativity. And it was a piece all about how in a lot of stories in pop culture and literature and art, gay characters are often the characters who are either killed off or have some kind of tragedy associated to them, like disease or anything like that. And so it was kind of, the whole concept was to write a story about a gay character, like, breaking away from all of those
just conventions. Just, like, being happy at the end.
Yeah, just, like, being allowed to be a gay character who just has a happy story.
Because what's the trope? It's called Burn Your Gaze, I think.
Yes.
Bury
Your Gaze.
Wait, what was called that?
That's, like, a thing in pop culture. It's called Bury Your Gaze. They talk about how, like, in stories, if you go back through, like, the 80s, 90s, even earlier, you see how the gay character is always killed off or has some tragedy happen.
Yeah, and even now there was just an article about how many gay characters survived this past TV season.
Yeah.
I read that, too. Yeah.
And it's
the girl from Pretty Little Liars, I think, is it.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's what I loved about the show.
Yeah.
That's really the thing that I
really
loved.
Where they kill a lot of people on Pretty Little Liars.
Do they?
Yeah.
They kill a lot on that show.
Yeah. I think some of her girlfriends have died,
I can't believe I just admitted that I know that.
Well, let's do TV guilty pleasure. Let's go around the table and see what our guilty pleasures on TV are. We kind of talked about that.
Oh,
so let's
let's go there.
It's Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty Little Liars is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, I can binge the whole thing in like a weekend.
Mine is So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh.
I love
Throwback
that
Thursday
show
with that.
So much. And this season they're doing
the kids.
This season they're doing a children's competition. And I'm telling all of you right now, if you have not seen it, go on to YouTube and watch the Stand in the Light So You Think You Can Dance performance. I wept like a child for like, or not even a child, like a middle-aged woman for like, 10 minutes after watching this video. It's just really, really beautiful. The dancing is amazing. It's an 8-year-old boy and this amazing male dancer, and it's just unbelievable. Check it out.
It's like Billy Elliot.
It's very much like along the veins of that kind of feel.
They see each other.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, they do actually dance together in Billy Elliot.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Totally. It was very reminiscent of that scene in Billy Elliot. It just made me weep like a woman.
They did, like, the last piece I saw on So You Think You Can Dance was been, like, 5-6 years ago, and it was like, oh, wait, who, what? The choreographer?
Mia Michaels?
We're going to get it. No, it was, it was a guy.
Travis Wall.
I think it was Travis. And it was his mom sick, and then we're going to bring it down. We're gonna bring it down a notch right
now. Good.
But like, it was like he did. It was anything to. First of all, Coldplay's "Fix You."
Oh,
you could loop a montage of like Burger King marquees in different cities to Coldplay's "Fix You," and I will cry. even in the Super Bowl when we were all making fun of the fact that it was like Beyonce and Bruno Mars and then Peggy, which is Coldplay. And then they go into "Fix You,"
yeah,
and they show a montage of the greatest hits of like these of like, you know, Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson and all these, and the, you know, Britney with the sock, tube sock, and I started crying over my buffalo wings. So anyway, there was this beautiful dance a couple years ago where it was a guy and a girl, and they were doing it. It was like he was the son and she was the mom.
I totally remember that. I think it was Travis Wall.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and my mom died, and so like I obviously was like my goal was how long into the conversation can I bring up my dead mom? So
we're
I love that piece. But my guilty pleasure TV.
Yeah,
it depends on what it is. Like what season of the part of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now it's Big Brother.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. And
that's a good one.
Because it's his Big Brother. And I just love that, like, I'm actually kind of in awe of it because I love Survivor. I only watch, like, 2 reality TV shows. Uh-huh. And Bachelorette, obviously.
Clearly.
I don't think that's a guilty pleasure anymore.
Nothing guilty about
Bachelorette.
Yeah, I feel like if we're talking tiers, I feel like that has been bumped up.
Yeah, that's, like, must-see television.
That's like,
it also knows it's ridiculous now.
Yeah.
And it completely makes fun of itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it knows what it is. But Big Brother, I'm like, wait, they're like producing. Usually you can like watch Survivor and be like, oh, I know the winner's edit. But this, I'm like, they're like discovering it as they go along. I don't know. And it makes me even like, after watching Unreal and all that, it's like, yeah.
I'm obsessed with Unreal.
Season 2 is not as good as season 1.
Of Unreal?
Yeah.
I disagree.
No, I think, well, this is not a TV podcast. We'll stop there.
I know.
mine is.
That's your other blog.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, mine is Nashville.
I have no guilt about Nashville.
Understand.
Nashville is, like, season 1 was fun because T-Bone Burnett did the music and like they really set up this like young pop star coming up versus like older, veteran seasoned country singer played by
Connie Britton
as Raina James. And then as the seasons have gone on, it has adopted to like true grotesque
soap opera, right?
Soap opera.
Yeah.
And they
did her plane crash or not, guys?
Yeah. They just totally lost all of the like friction between the two main characters.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, what's the craziest thing we can do?
It's just hard pivot.
Yeah. Oh, with friend of the show, Laura Benanti.
Oh, I wish.
Didn't she pop up? Like, yeah, she had like a crazy arc on that.
Yeah,
right?
she shot her husband and then she disappeared.
Sadie Smith?
Yeah.
Sadie Stone. That was her.
Brian, you paid way more attention than I did.
Well, we're bringing it back to Broadway.
Yes,
Kylie Massey.
Because
every time I was doing an actor friend concert at 54 Below, I'd be like, reaching out to the different people, and I would get it would be like, oh, I can't because of Nashville. It'd be like everybody was on Nashville for a while, and then it switched to I can't because Supergirl.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, that's awesome. But Nashville's great.
Yeah, I love it.
I love Nashville. And Will Chase is back to Broadway now.
Yes, as Shakespeare in Something Rotten.
Yeah.
Welcome back, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you seen recently, going back?
The last, like, stage thing that I saw is, because otherwise we'll be like, want to talk about Stranger Things?
I'm starting that next week.
You're going to love it. And also, like,
I'm excited.
I just started Parks and Rec.
For the first time ever?
I've done four seasons in a week.
Well, I'm watching Lost right now, and I'm freaking out about it.
You're watching Lost for the first time?
Yeah, for the first time. I'm in season 2, and I'm like, what's happening? These numbers are crazy.
Kevin.
Numbers.
Awesome. I have so much power over you right now.
Don't do it, Brian. Don't do it.
But I'm not.
The constant. Just wait for the constant.
I'm high-fiving.
This is why I'm watching, because Jeremy talked about it.
Oh, we talked about the constant on Jeremy's.
That's what made me think about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great episode.
I missed that part. I was sitting right here.
Yeah.
But
what would you say? Sorry.
I saw off Broadway Small Mouth Sounds. You've probably seen it advertised on your Instagram. It's that picture with a line of people sitting down.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's 90% unspoken. Because of the context of it, they're all at a retreat where they can't speak. So, and that's pretty established right in the beginning. So it's all done through just their communication skills without sound. And I loved it.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Broadway's a night out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a
silent podcast.
We can do it.
I would listen to it.
Yeah. If Joss Whedon could do a silent Buffy episode, we can do a silent Broadway episode.
Oh my God. He did do a silent. And he did a musical episode.
Yes, he did.
And he did a Dead Mom episode, bringing it back.
Yeah.
That's also
bookending it.
Yeah.
That's a great episode.
That's one of the best episodes.
I agree.
Yeah. So everybody go see it. Buffy. Start Buffy if you haven't.
Yeah.
I should start Buffy.
You should. Buffy's
You would love it.
Wait, you've never seen it?
I've never seen Buffy.
It was the first thing I ever binge watched.
Me too.
Before binge watching was a thing.
Well, yeah, because it was one of the only complete great things on Netflix when people were first signing up and streaming.
Do you guys remember when Netflix, when they're like, we're going to streaming only, but it was like titles you'd never heard of.
Oh yeah.
It was cartoons you never heard of, and it was all of those weird Camp Nowhere 5.
Yep.
You're taking my DVDs away?
I was so upset about that.
The transition period was real rough.
Remember when you had to walk to the mailbox Buffy and Firefly, send it back?
That's true. Well, whenever I think, when things are changing, too drastically, I think back to Netflix. I'm like, look where we are now based on how angry I was a couple years ago.
I know.
True.
I'm going to be okay.
That Luke Cage trailer.
That Luke Cage trailer was amazing.
And then you talk about Broadway HD on top of it. And I'm just like, I never have to leave my apartment again.
Kevin, you never left your apartment before any of this stuff.
I know, but now I have a reason to actually stay in my apartment.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't see anything this week. So.
Oh, fine. Wait, yes, you did.
What'd I see?
You and I saw Laura Osnes at Michael Mott and Friends.
Oh, that's right. We saw Laura Osnes at Michael Mott and Friends in Astoria at the Astor Room. It's every Wednesday night. It's really cool. Michael, a friend of the show, mm-hmm. curates a really excellent Wednesday night kind of cabaret, if you will. And this week was specifically just Laura Osnes. And I've seen her in multiple things. I saw her in
But it's
Bonnie
a tiny
Clyde.
Little room. There were, what, maybe 30, 40 people 30, there? Yeah.
The food's great there, too. But
yeah.
She is incredible.
We said we could have just watched her sing Hopelessly Devoted.
Over on repeat.
I'm not being ironic here. She was my vote. Because I go back to
Greece,
where you're the one that I want.
Yeah.
was also
and
my vote.
Yeah, she was. I wanted her and I wanted Max.
Me too.
And
did Max win?
Yes, he did. I sat next to him on the subway once and I was like, my 17-year-old is freaking out.
He was in Disaster with
I always try to make a joke about Greece, you're the one that I want, and it never really lands because I don't think people remember that moment.
But I also think it worked. You can't make fun of it as much because it actually
it ended
worked.
Up working for this girl.
Yeah.
And it's
the Legally Blonde one, too.
The Legally Blonde one totally worked. I watched that religiously.
I was just oddly enough talking about that with somebody this morning. I was like, but it always comes up. But when Hurricane Sandy happened, I was like, Hurricane Sandy? That sounds like one of the names on the Greaser, the one that I want girls. Because they would call them Ballet Sandy. She was called Small Town Sandy.
And then Ashley was
Ballerina. Sandy.
Yeah.
And then there was Bellhop Danny.
Yes.
And he was literally Bellhop. And Max was Slacker Danny.
Because he had long hair.
Yeah. So I always thought that hurt and he just didn't give
Cheers to reality Broadway shows.
Bring reality Broadway shows back.
Because how do you solve a problem?
Yeah, that was great.
Is that where we got Samantha?
Yeah. No, she was on the Nancy one.
She was on the Nancy
one. Yeah, she was on the Who Needs Me or whatever it's called.
As long as he needs Who Needs Me.
Wait.
I would have watched that show.
What should be the next reality show?
Good. Oh. Game Master.
Woo.
Hamilton, find the next ensemble swing. I think would have the greatest ratings.
They would have the hugest turnout just for the ensemble swing.
Good reality
on television. Cats.
I think they should do a reality show to cast the kids in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That's so much child
like,
well, no, but
work. And
it's like MasterChef Junior.
Well, yeah. Except I don't think they're children in this production, from what I learned.
Oh,
I don't know.
The School of Rock kids, maybe?
No, I think they were looking for, like, 30-year-olds. They were, like, looking for his, like, spelling bee style.
Veruca Salt?
Yeah, I think, I again, awesome. I know nothing about this production from what I heard about the auditions was that,
yeah.
that they were auditioning adults for the kids, and then Charlie was going to be a kid. But that was...
Oh, I kind of like that aesthetic.
That actually is interesting.
Oh, that sounds creepy.
And then, like, the yeah. heart of a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the parents were going to be, and the parents were going to be puppets. I'm not, I'm kidding.
I'm really into that. Well, we've talked about Charlie and Chocolate Factory and how it's elderly abuse.
Oh, Waldo completely.
Wrote a book about elderly abuse.
Oh, completely.
Maybe yeah. they should cast the next Elphaba and try to, like, do, like, a re...
Like, well, we talked about this.
Wicked doesn't need help.
No, but I think what will be interesting is if we've talked about this. I don't forget if we talked about it on the podcast or off the podcast.
Maybe Kinky Boots. It'll be like a RuPaul Drag Race meets Greaser.
Oh, that's interesting. But we've talked about casting the Wicked movie, but then trying to get those movie stars in the Broadway show for like a week or like a month.
Oh, yeah.
To like just build up some sort of PR and momentum and marketing for it.
And so they can be better at their role.
And just get people... And just get people
and in. So that Brian can see Jennifer Lawrence on stage playing Elphaba.
She would not do that.
But that's who you wanted to be Elphaba.
But she wouldn't do the idea that I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then it's a silly idea.
Have we tweeted her? Have we asked her?
Yeah. Let's do it.
J-Law, do it.
So, well, should we?
She tweeted back.
Let's play our first game. Let's play our first game, which is going to be... I'm kind of bored of word association.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
So I'm just going to do rapid-fire questions at you.
Oh, fuck.
No!
Oh,
yeah. No!
Karma Cusack.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Oh. Kevin, I'm not doing it to you.
The heck?
But I'm ready to listen.
All right. Ready, Andrew?
I hope. Yeah.
Favorite musical?
Cabaret.
Oh, me too.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that and Mail-A-Marco.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah,
I just didn't know that about Brian.
Well,
I know him fairly well.
The more you know.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite experience seeing a show?
I have a couple, but I would say that Shakespeare in the Park, Meryl Streep, Mother Courage.
Mm. Cool.
Unreal. You're going to have to bleep me, but I'm going to say it. There's a moment in it at the end where, and they had this like wrote, it was mud was on the stage at the Delacorte, and she, ever all the crap has happened to her. And this was the summer of Devil Wears Prada, so she was, I mean, Meryl, it's always Meryl Streep, but it was like, she was
apex.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she picks up the front of the wagon after all of her kids have died and left her and everything's terrible and it's and they're in the middle of this war and it's all this mud and everything and she just goes and she just screams this war and then drags the wagon in a circle on a turntable or something with like projections of war for like it might have been 6 minutes of it. It was probably 1 minute, but it went on for and she kept falling in the mud, face front in the mud, and that was how it ended. And it was just like, and I was like, that's
fun.
All.
Yeah, have fun.
That's all I
home.
Needed to see.
Yeah, that was a Devil Wears Prada reference I just gave you at the end.
That's all.
What's it like working with Julie Andrews?
Oh my God, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you for those who don't know, I did a production of The Boyfriend that Julie Andrews directed when I was like 21. I got my equity card through that.
Oh, cool.
She's every bit of what you would want her to be and more. Like she's regal and she's lovely and she's self-aware and she's also a little dirty. So
I love that.
I love hearing when people are self-aware. Because I feel like there's a very fine line between people who can be considered a certain like tier of person or star or whatever you want to call them. And the self-aware ones I've found in terms of like meeting people as well as just through like the word of mouth, the self-aware ones are usually the ones that make the best impression or like are real.
Yeah. And it was an anecdote on that is that she knew that she was like Julie Andrews, but like what she was known for. But I remember she like walked into the men's dressing room and we were kind of like changing. It was during previews. She was giving us notes before half hour, just, you know, equity rules. So she was before half hour. But like we were changing. She walks in. I have a terrible Julie Andrews impression, but she was like, is everybody decent? Oh, and then she saw me like with my pants down. She's like, well, half decent. And then she said, and she's like, I'm here with your notes. And this is the worst impression. This is not like Jeremy's James Corden.
That was amazing.
It was really good. It was really good. And she goes, like, she's like, well, looking through their paper for her notes, and she's like, well, you're perfect. And then she stopped and, like, looked at us all and went, well, practically perfect, and then walked out. And she would do that all the time with different things. And she's like, yeah, like, I think one time she did, like, she, like, did a spin in the studio or, like, did some Victor Victoria reference. Yeah. But,
oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. She's beautiful, wonderful. It is amazing that we have her among us.
Yeah. She's special.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Please.
What's your favorite line from Jurassic Park?
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's everyone's thing.
Yeah.
And you have a velociraptor on your calf?
I do. I have a velociraptor on my calf that is...
It's hatching.
That's hatching.
I was behind him walking up the stairs. That's why I saw it.
So, and actually, I got it down downstairs at Eastside Inc. from where we're recording. Eastside Inc.
Really?
Dead serious, yeah.
Just before this?
Yeah, just before this.
Brand new.
Dan Bones. He's an incredible artist. And cool. he adapted an original Stan Winston drawing. Stan Winston did all of the animatronic artwork for Jurassic Park.
Stan Winston's one of the greatest of all time in any field ever.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah. And so it's a hatchling. It's a baby raptor coming out of an egg.
No BD Wong on your craft?
Not yet.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
BD Wong, friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
BD Wong.
I have a BD Wong tattoo on my back of him on Law and Order.
I'm thinking.
Just like looking at his
I think if I were to get one, it would be probably BD Wong from Father the Bride 2.
The second one.
The second one. Not the first one.
When he has a cold and he has to leave. Yeah. And he's no longer in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a cold. Yeah, yeah. Or I'm just going to get like two. No, it's 250 ahead on the small of my back.
He always talked like that.
He's like, no, it's 250 ahead. He is one of the most. I'm going to say this right now. Like, I always rave about BD Wong, but he is one of those, a stage actor.
Yeah.
One of the most, he taught me, I believe, as an actor, like as a kid, what versatility was, because to go from these roles, like in Jurassic Park or like whatever, and like Father of the Bride, but then he plays like a Marine in Executive Decision.
Yeah.
And it said like, and you know, that you can see.
Or Pacific Overtures.
Overtures, yeah. Or Charlie Brown, or.
Yeah. How long was in Jurassic Park?
Yeah. He's the lead geneticist.
Yeah, he plays Dr. Henry Wu.
Yeah.
And then he's also in Jurassic World.
He's in Jurassic World. That's
he's
like one of the
He's the bad guy in Jurassic World because he's like famous.
It's kind of like the thing.
Is Jurassic Park the new one? Or Jurassic World is the new one?
Is the new one, yeah. Well, in the original novel, anybody knows me is like, oh God, here he goes. But in the original novel, his character is the geneticist who created the dinosaurs. And so we didn't really get that moment until the fourth one where he actually gets to say, I created all of
me.
This.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, thank you. Yeah. So I was just saying, I think that BD Wong is one of those actors who just really was the first to teach me what versatility was. And then anyway, he's just fantastic.
Cheers to BD Wong.
So BD
Wong.
Cheers
to BD Wong.
Yeah, hooray.
I love him. And I don't know BD Wong. I mean,
I'm too far away to cheers always. Got it.
Yeah. Great. So I'll ask you questions throughout, but I'd love to play a game with you.
Yeah, what?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Kimberly's going to tell us what we're playing now.
Do you want to play my game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called 16 Handles.
Okay.
Nice. Did you just buy a frozen yogurt?
I'm down with that game.
I wish.
Wait, hold on. Before we start, is anybody going to do shots of this vodka or is it just me?
I'll do some with you.
Okay. All right. Great.
You have to slick from the bottle.
You have to do it from the bottle.
Amazing.
That's fine.
Great.
I hate vodka too.
I'm sorry.
I hate it.
We could get the other stuff.
No, this is not
like the other stuff.
Take a swig while I explain the game.
Okay.
So I have 16 Twitter handles on my phone.
This is a fun... Did you create this game?
I did create this game.
That's awesome.
Today, while I was too busy at work,
that's so
I made
great.
This up.
It tastes like an alcohol wipe, and I just can't get over that.
Okay, I'll take a shot after I explain.
Like hairspray.
Because you guys have to get ready. This is a rapid fire game. Okay. I have 16 Twitter handles mm-hmm. in front of me.
What
you
a
have
good
to.
Idea.
I'm going to go around this little trio of the three of you, and you are going to have to match the person to their Twitter handle.
What person?
So, for instance, if I said Brian. At Nutty Professor.
Me.
You'd say Brian.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I
thought you were going to read tweets of theirs, and I was going to be like, and I was going to say who said them.
I thought about that, and that seemed like too much work.
Like, that is a lot of work.
Fair enough. All right.
Okay, hold on. Let me swig from the bottle.
Ooh.
That's great. That's great, guys. I love this.
And I'm a lady, and I didn't make a face.
Yeah, Kimberly didn't make a face, but Brian and I both made, like,
I just don't like
first
vodka.
Drink face.
Yeah, no, I mean, if we had like...
That's not as bad as I remember.
Yeah.
If from being 18.
Absolute is good. It went down a little smoother than like pop than off. Like,
oh, well.
Well, clearly. Okay, so we're going to go Kevin, Brian, Andrew.
Okay.
Sweet.
Sound great. Good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As fast as you can. Kevin, at a bright monster.
Alex Brightman.
Correct. Brian, at Lackety Lack.
Alex Lackamore.
Yeah. Andrew, at official B. Peters.
Bernadette Peters.
Yeah. Kevin. Yes. Keep track of your own score. With a finger.
Oh, keep track of your score.
Okay. Oh. Kevin, at composer Steven.
Steven Schwartz.
Yes. Brent, at AEA president.
Oh, Pat, what's her name?
No.
We talk about her with Lucreta.
Mm-hmm, we did.
I forget her name.
Kate Schindel.
Kate Schindel.
Who I just saw this morning was talking about the Legally Blonde.
oh, really? Yeah, yeah. Kate Schindel, friend of the show. Come on.
Want to talk to her. I'll get her. Oh, my God.
At I am Susan Egan.
Susan Egan, who was actually my first Sally Bowles, bringing it back to my third musical.
Oh, nice. Kevin, at the Bryce Capades.
Oh, is it Bryce Pinking?
Pinkham. Okay.
Thank you. Pinkham.
Brian, at Crystal's Heat.
Chris Rodriguez?
Nope.
I don't know. Who?
Alicia Umfriss.
I know I've seen that handle before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the one who runs our Twitter.
I know.
Whatever.
All right, Andrew. At Menguin McGee.
Oh, I have no clue. I know it's not Megan Hilty, but.
It's Megan McGinnis.
Oh.
Kevin. At Spring
Dead
B-Way.
Legs.
At Spring B-Way.
Oh, Spring Awakening Broadway.
Yeah.
Is that the deaf one?
It is the deaf one. Correct.
Kevin. You're just giving him the easy one.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have no control
winning.
Over which way I swipe.
I did get at Susan Egan.
That's true.
And B. Peters. Official B. Peters.
I was trying to be, that's why it's snappy, so that snappy. I can trip you guys up. Brian, at SOR Musical.
That is School of Rock Musical.
Yes. Thank Andrew, you. At Curious Broadway.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Kevin, at AG Musical.
Amazing Grace.
Yes!
Yeah!
Brian, at Diva Robbie.
Oh, Rob Roselli, our friend of the show.
Yeah. Friend of the show.
Andrew, at Jay Munoz Actor.
Javier Munoz.
Yes. Kevin, at Hebe Fluff.
I know this one!
I know.
She retweeted us today.
Oh!
Cheater!
Beth Malone!
But I was just really proud of that one. So I had a dream last night.
Oh, wait, that's the end. That was all 16 perfect. Handles.
I had a dream.
Kevin, did you win?
I did.
Yeah, what
did
you like?
Well, what did Kevin win?
I got six.
Either.
Four.
Very appropriate for the day. A bodyguard umbrella.
Actually, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Or the original
just
Lennon
Castle. Just give me the bodyguard
Matilda.
Umbrella. Sorry, Matilda.
And I did use it today because I got caught in the rain. But
I'm okay with that. A slightly used bodyguard umbrella.
Yeah, Beth Malone. I had a dream last night that it was a nightmare, I should say, that I was in the cast of Fun Home. And I was on stage for my first night in Fun Home. And I was cast in a new role that they wrote into the show, but they were still doing the original show. So I'm on stage in the round. And
just
like
standing
just
on the corner?
Just standing in the corner, like walking around the stage. And I don't know what to do because I'm in Fun Home and they're just doing this what they usually do around me, but I'm just like completely lost. Like I'm in the bedroom with Joan and her, and I'm just like,
which totally changes the mood of that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like this like random guy in the room just like creepily
like,
watching.
It's like when they added that ghost to when Rob Ashford added the ghost of what's his name in The Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Yes. It was, yes, like you were like the ghost, oh, of her sexuality. It was like, you know, you're the ghost of heterosexuality standing there.
Or I was like the ghost of the father's, you know, yeah, the weight, right, of the world.
Yeah.
And whatever it may be.
Brian, were you the little twink boy?
And not in this production. And it was very awkward, and Beth Malone was the only person who like went out of their way to be like just really nice to me. Not that anyone was mean, but everyone was in the zone, and Beth Malone would just like hang out with me when she was like off, like standing behind her drawing desk, and she'd just be like, "This is like kind of weird, right?" I was like, "This
she's
is
the only one who understood what's going."
So I think that Beth Malone was incepting me because she was clearly on the same page as I was, like that lucidity within that like structured dream.
So you think she came to you in a dream?
Yeah. So I tweeted about it this morning. She retweeted us.
She's regretting that retweet about now.
At Hebe Flop.
I feel like if that were to happen, Beth Malone would be able she would to be do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just like took me under her fun home wing.
And like.
And just like, she's like, everything's going to be okay.
They fun homed out.
Yeah.
She looked directly in my eyes, said telephone wire, and everything was okay.
Did you cry immediately?
She didn't even have to say it. She just looked in my eyes and I was done.
I used to have the theater anxiety dreams like when I was an actor. And then I get them now, but they're. It's like I'm aware in the dream that I'm not an actor anymore. And so, like, I'll get this call, and it'd be like, we need you to come down to do Gaby in On the Town. And I'll go, what's wrong? They're like, well, we don't have anybody. I'm like, I even when I was an actor, I couldn't dance like that or sing like that or act like that.
Your dream self is very realistic, like casting options. Yeah,
I'll be like, I'm just letting you know that, like, I'm like, if there's anybody, like, if, okay, fine, like, I'll come down. Like, I don't know the show. Do you want me to hold a book or whatever? And I went down
typed out in your dream.
I went down and I did a show and I held the book and I did Gaby on the Town. And I remember being on the stage and like, I remember, I didn't even see On the Town. I just like what I thought On the Town looked like. And I remember that the only person who was nice to me was Alicia Umfress, and I don't know her in real life, but she was nice to me.
Great.
And then I remember that whoever was playing Ivy at the time was just like, he doesn't know how to dance. I'm like, I never said I did. So I'm just here because I was asked, and I
all
said yes.
We just created a new segment called People Who Are Nice to You in Dreams. Should we play Lights of Broadway now?
Yes.
Yes!
Yay!
Yay! I'm handing out fresh Lights of Broadway show cards.
Yes! I get to open it. My God.
Yes.
While we open the packs, can you tell us about your hashtag Dim for Joan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll talk about that. When I hadn't done any sort of like social media campaigns, that was the first one. I wasn't like setting out to do one, but I saw that when Joan Rivers had passed, that the league made an announcement that they were not going to dim the lights. And I don't remember anybody asking them, like, I think that if they didn't say anything, nobody would have said anything. But the fact that they said, we're not going to dim the lights for her, mm-hmm, because she doesn't qualify.
It's almost like they went out of their way
to be like, no.
Yeah, and so, and then people were bringing up different really good points about how she would qualify over somebody else who the lights were dim for, who Robin Williams, it happened for him, which I think it should have. But
in terms of, like, tiers of Broadway people.
And they say, you know, she was Tony nominated. She had a play on Broadway. She was a huge advocate for Broadway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this huge champion for Broadway. And so I kind of was like, well, that sucks. And then I said, I wonder if I can change that. And then so I was texting with Alex Wise. And so we were like throwing different hashtags back and forth. Yeah. And then I, in my mind, was thinking Dim for Joan, but I didn't really like articulate it. And then he had said it and I was like, oh, that's it. So then we just started this like rally. I said, let's like, if you think they should dim the lights for her, then let's dim for Joan. Cool. And then it eventually happened.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah. Cheers to Joan. Yeah.
Thank you. And then I went down Joan. And I was still anonymous there. So it was kind of like this, like,
oh, and then you came out as yourself, in 2015 last year.
Yeah. In December.
Why? What? Oh, that's pretty recent.
It was recent, yeah.
Why did you just? Why? Well, like, what was the situation behind that?
I had a like everything I do as an annoying actor, and it's sort of like based off of like very like calculated guessing on timing, and mm-hmm. so like annoying actor friend happened because of a very specific timing, and I was lucky to like make fun of actors' social media presence at the time in which nobody was doing it yet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got my voice, and then I adapted it into what it was becoming. And then I was like, I think that now it's reached its point where there's more I could do with it, but I'm also, I don't think, I think I'm done. And mm-hmm. I'd love to see how, if I present myself as who I am, if I can still do it, and like, you know, sort of make it like a back project because I'm a writer and there's other things. And Annoying Actor Friend takes a lot of like work to do.
What
I was doing during 2015. So I was like, I'd like to write other things that are not related to theater. And so I'm just going to present my reveal with my outing. My outing with my book launch.
So blessed.
Grateful. The sequel. Hashtag grateful.
Hashtag so blessed.
Yeah, that was hashtag so
and
blessed.
And the second was hashtag grateful.
Yeah, so hashtag so blessed is the like the how to succeed in show business manual as told through like the eye of like a very successful Broadway theater actor. And that just kind of like it tells you like everything from college to auditioning to Broadway to unemployment to social media. And then what you learn in that is applied to sort of like a narrative where it's like a choose your own adventure.
Okay, cool.
Choose your own show business destiny is what it's called, because I almost got sued by the choose your own adventure books. Because choose your own adventure is a trademark word.
They were actual books called choose your own adventure.
So I thought if you go like look at the Goosebumps books, like R.L. Stine's Goosebumps books, they're called like make your own scream or whatever. So that's why it's called something else. So anyway, it's a much larger book where you have all these different avenues. You can pick where you go and blah blah blah. So that's
everyone
what that
says
is.
Destiny the same way they say hashtag so blessed.
Of course.
Hashtag grateful.
All right, Kimberly, what are we doing here?
We are playing show cards against humanity.
Yay!
Using our hand. I have a draw pile too, but I don't think we'll need it.
Okay, cool.
So in this envelope here, I have some little sentences with blanks in them. One person will pick them out, read the sentence aloud with the blank. Everyone will pick someone from their hand of their show card. I just had mine upside down. Of their Lights of Broadway show cards and give them to the person whose turn it is.
Cool.
Who would like to start? Say I.
Andrew, start.
Oh, yeah.
Great. So I read this and then, so I don't use my cards here.
Not yet.
Yes, right. Correct.
Cool.
And then you pick the funniest.
Yeah, or whatever one.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's funny.
Oh, it's a two-person one.
Okay.
It's a two card. So blank murdered blank backstage with a prop candlestick. Blank murdered blank backstage with a prop candlestick. By the way, fun fact, I always lose this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not, like, but you're funny.
Thank you, but I'm not good at this game. I don't know why. All right. So, bloody Andrew Jackson murdered Michael Bennett with a prop candlestick.
Oh, no.
That's aggressive.
Andrew Keenan Bulger murdered Natasha Katz with a prop candlestick. Benjamin Walker, oh, that's smart, murdered Benny Buckley with a prop candlestick. They're all very creative. I'm going to go, just for some reason, Andrew Keenan Bulger murdering Natasha Katz is making me laugh.
Yay! I wish that I had, or you had, both Bloody Andrew Jackson and Benjamin Walker.
That would have been really great.
Let's pull one card from the middle.
Yeah, let's everyone pull one.
Yeah,
except for me.
Except for you, right.
So, like, my goal is to get a Broadway Lights card.
We'll
make it happen. We want one, too. We want a Broadway Lights of Broadway card.
Yeah, you should have one.
Thank you.
I think you should.
Can you start the hashtag?
The campaign for it? Yeah. Oh, my God, I will.
We're all about it.
I just got five in a row in my hand. Okay. I keep getting ones we got last week. Hold on. Here we go. Nope. They're all on top.
Should we just throw away the ones that we do every week? And make new ones?
Yeah. Okay. Sleepy Brian would stay up late to watch blank. Brian falls asleep a lot.
Oh, okay.
So it's someone that would keep Brian awake.
Oh, I'm giving my own, but
this is why I lose, because my cards.
Brian's
suck.
Special skill is falling asleep anywhere.
Anywhere.
It's a miracle he's never fallen asleep while recording.
I cut it. I edited it out.
Great. Okay. Sleepy Brian would stay up late to watch Brian Stokes Mitchell, Next to Normal, or Keila Settle. Next Normal might put you back to sleep.
I fell asleep when I saw it in D.C.
Brian Stokes Mitchell is a bit like a lullaby.
He has a beautiful, beautiful, velvety baritone.
I'm going to say Keila Settle.
You're going to say that? Oh, my God. Wait, did I win?
Yeah.
Oh,
you win? Yay!
Wait, but I chose Brian Stokes Mitchell because he wouldn't put me to sleep.
It's not your choice.
Depends what show he's in.
Go on, Brian.
But it's impossible to go to sleep when Kayla settles around.
It's impossible dream to go to sleep with Brian Stokes Mitchell.
All right, here we go. Right,
can you pass me
what a nerd.
Yeah.
This is a great one.
This is boring.
And this is a two-card one.
Hooray.
Hooray, hooroo.
When blank met blank, a new musical. First one is When Allegiance Met Stephanie J. Block, a new musical. When Aladdin Met Baby, a new musical. It's like Aladdin Part 2. When Adam Pascal met
Stage Door Canteen.
Stage Door Canteen.
So we've gotten Stage Door Canteen before. It's this like old 40s thing.
I was like,
not even kidding. Stage Door Canteen is a Pokestop in Midtown.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I care. Only me and Brian care, apparently.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm too old for that.
I did it for a week and I was like, an hour.
It was a long time.
And I went, oh, I get this. I understand this. And I think this is great.
For other people.
I'm not going to be throwing shade at it the way everybody was like, I was like, oh my God, is there anything more annoying than somebody being pretentious about somebody else's joy? When people were like shading Pokemon Go, I was like, guys, be happy. This is what we're talking about this week.
I know.
That's a very
good
point.
It came out at a great time.
Yeah.
It's like, here's happiness.
So let's all pick another card.
I choose Aladdin.
We didn't even pick a winner. We just skipped over Kevin.
Story of his life.
You're just like Hamilton, guys. I picked when Aladdin meets Baby.
Shut up. That was me.
Oh,
yay! I don't win.
I'm really happy I got this one.
Yes.
Most likely to tweet back at Kimberly's mom, Gail Cooper.
At Gail A. Cooper.
Oh, shit. Sure. I thought I had Alice Ripley, but I don't.
Oh, Alice Ripley retweeted us.
Yeah, I feel like she
did
would.
Did she really?
Well, from the contest we did last week.
Oh, yeah.
I like that her Twitter handle is like in caps. She's always yelling.
Alice the band.
Alice the band. Oh, I should have made that one. Yeah. 16 handle.
Always screaming.
No, it's Ripley the band.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Right. Most likely to tweet back at Kimberly's mom, Gail A. Cooper. Rebecca Luker.
She seems nice.
Laura Benanti. Or Renee Elise Goldsberry. I think Laura Benanti's the answer.
Yeah.
I agree. So she'd be really excited about Renee.
Oh, yeah. She'd be excited about any of these.
That's true. She's obsessed with all of it.
I for some reason, think the most likely person to do that is Laura Benanti.
Were you Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you were.
Oh, true. I shouldn't say that I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah. You.
Like, oh, wait, I win. Why am I telling her?
So I think.
Pick a different thing.
Andrew, I think you won both the games today.
I think you did.
No, Kevin won the first one.
Oh, I have two.
I forgot about Kevin.
Yeah, I forgot about me too. Did you see that? I was like, you did win both games.
Would you like the London cast recording of Matilda?
Can I?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, I love this.
I brought prizes.
Thank you. Is Leslie Margarita on this one? I'm kidding. I know she's not.
Queen Leslie.
We saw her in Dames at Sea.
I missed it.
Oh, it was so good.
It really was.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was on.
With friend of the show, Danny Garner.
Oh, he's great. I remember going to tap class. Back in my day, I remember I was like, that guy knows what he's doing.
That guy can tap.
Well, we saw him in Rockettes.
Sure can.
He tapped his face off.
That face
is in there.
Huge,
Summer Spectacular.
And he's so small in it. And the moment that he starts, he gets, like, he's still physically small on that giant stage like everyone else is. But his energy rating off of that stage
is outstanding.
It's crazy.
I love it. Yeah. He's great.
He's a statue. Come to life.
Yeah, a statue. Come to life.
Like everyone else in that show.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
wait,
absolutely.
I did the third of vodka or no, it was just me. You guys had a
we had we each had a swig.
We each had a swig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so it was just me.
So you drank it.
Happy Monday.
Killed it.
Hooray!
Again, follow Andrew on @actor_friend, and you can go to annoyingactorfriend.com as well as follow him on his personal.
Because he's himself now.
I have like nine Twitter accounts now. So it's like,
how do you manage that?
It's very difficult.
Yeah,
I should have just done all of the 16 handles, just you.
You're right. Yeah.
Every answer was, it's Andrew.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. Thank you for dealing with me.
Thank you for dealing with us. I had the greatest time.
Great.
If you are listening to this, come on this podcast, Leslie Margarita.
Yes. So essentially, we end every episode with a nice little quote.
Oh, yeah.
And
always forget.
Before I knew that you were going to mention cabaret, I chose to do let's cheers to pineapple for you.
Shut up.
Oh,
my God.
Pineapple. Oh.
Cheers to pineapple.
And as we end every episode,
zoo-doo-wop-bop.
You look so confused.
Could you hear my eye roll?
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. We'll listen to you. You listen to see you hear us next week.
Bye, guys.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.